Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chof Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the wide lines, Tan Rabbanan. A halacha that we've already quoted previously is that the Torah HaKadosha, when it speaks about the shiur that the son, that the Bechor is entitled to, the Torah says, Los Asloi Pnei Shnayim Bechol Hashayim Motziloi. From here we learn that the only assets that the Bechor gets, this double portion that we've been discussing, is Be'ashir Matzulai, what the father has at the time of his death. But anything which is Roy, anything that only will come to the estate after the passing of the father, there the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. And our Gemara begins a discussion. What is included in Roy and Muchzik, and what is not included in Roy and Muchzik? Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches a Bechor Noitel Pishnayim. The Bechor gets a double portion Bezroya. The halacha is that when the Torah HaKadosh gives certain Matnas Kahuna to the Kohen, the Zroya is the right forearm of the animal. L'chaim are the cheeks. The Keva is the stomach. The Torah says that that all belongs to the Kohen. And if a Kohen passed away and he left over these Matnas Kahuna, the Bechor will get the double portion or Mekdashim, the Aloch of Kochim, the father left over, and that too the Gemara will Mitzvashim explain. The Vibechor Sheshofcha and the Chosim Lachem Mitzvahim. And any benefit that the properties, the estate that the father left over, that got improved, that went up in value by itself, it didn't take any work, there halacha is that the Bechor gets Pishnayim. And the Braisa explained itself. Ketzad, Hinich l'maviyim para, the father left over a cow, Muchukeres u'muskeres b'yad acherim, that was rented or leased from when the father was alive, that I shahay seroy be'efer, or the father's animal was out past grazing in the field, and there's no need for anybody to feed them, to bring food to feed them. They eat just the grass where they're grazing. V'yolda, or the animal had a baby after the father passed away, says the Braisa, b'chor noitel Pishnayim, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion, presumably in the rental fee or in the baby that's born after the father was dead. Even though that these improvement, all of this did not come during the father's lifetime, the Mishnah, the Bryce is telling us that the son is entitled to the double portion. The Mukheris and Muskeris, the Yad Ramah explains, Chakira is an animal that was like a sharecropped animal that was rented to someone else. And in exchange for the animal working on somebody else's field, the owner of that field will have to give the owner of the animal a certain percentage of the produce, or give him, or it was rented that they're going to get a rental fee for taking for this animal. Roy Be'ef V'yolda, the Rishonim debate, what are we speaking about here? Did the animal at least have to be pregnant at the time of the father's life? Or even if the animal got pregnant after the father passed away, will the halacha be, according to this braisa, that the Bechor gets Pishnayim? As I said, that there is a machloikus showing him how to understand that halacha, says the Gemara. Aval, bono bottom, if they built homes for not to krumim, or they planted fields, there the halacha is, ein Bechor noitel Pishnayim, in those kind of situations, the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion. So the Gemara now begins to further analyze what we just learned in this braisa. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. Yisrael L'chaim, when we speak about the Yisrael L'chaim at Keva, at the beginning of this braisa, exactly Hechidami. What is the situation, says the Gemara, that we are discussing? Ida Asla De'avun, if the father had already received this royal chayim v'keva during his lifetime, pshita. So it's obvious that the bechor should get pishnayim. It's no different than any other asset that the father had during his lifetime. V, the loyasal deyavun, if it's referring to a situation where the father had not received these matnas kuhuna during the father's lifetime, so royihu, the father never had this, and since the father never had it, it's to be in the category of an asset that's roi. And we learned, and we started our share with this, ein habachar noitel b'roi kibemuchsik. The bachar is not entitled to get in what's roi like he gets in the muchsik. So why would he get something that the father never had during his lifetime? Answers the Gemara, hachav makira kunaskinim. Our Bryce is speaking about a koyin that everybody in the city knows that this is the koyin that they're going to give the matnas kunhu. And what happened here was that this animal, that this royal l'chaim and keva we are speaking about, come from the animal, the shtachet b'chai devuon, that was already slaughtered during the time of the father's lifetime. The kesavar and the tan of this price is of the opinion that matanish lehorma kamish armadami, even though they weren't actually given to the father, but since there was every intention, because this kayan is the makire kahuna, that everybody gives the kayan, this father, everybody gave him their matnas kahuna. Since everybody gave this person their matnas kahuna, so it's considered as if the father already had ownership of these matnas kahuna during his lifetime. And since the father had already ownership of this matnas kahuna during his lifetime, that's why it's not considered roy, it's considered muchsik, and the bechor gets his double share in it. There is a question. How far does the halacha of makire kahuna go? Tosfos seems to learn the makiri kahuna is such a strong halacha that if there's always an assumption that this kayin, in the case the father, is going to get the matnas kahuna, the person who is giving the matnas kahuna, the Yisrael, who's giving the matnas kahuna, cannot give it to someone else. And the reason, explained Tosfos and other Rishayim, the Ritva, is because it's considered a matana mu'atis. It's not considered something very significant, and therefore this assumption makes it his. And says the Ritva, even if there's a Yisrael who's wealthy and his matnas kahuna are quite valuable, still says the Ritva, when we speak about all the matnas kahuna in the world, this is just a small portion, and that's why he can't go back on it. But then Tosfos says, even if the halacha were that the Yisrael always gives a certain kohen the matnas kahuna, makes him into the makiri kahuna, and he could change his mind and give it to someone else, as long as he hasn't given it yet to this kohen. Still, the fact that he always gives it to him is enough to make it be considered his. And Rabbeinu Yonah has a different approach. Rabbeinu Yonah's approach is that it's considered, there's a special takanas chachamim. There's a takanas chachamim that if somebody is a makire kahuna, that somebody always gives this kohen his gifts, then he's obligated to continue giving the kohen this kohen his gifts under all circumstances. And since he's obligated to continue giving this kohen his gifts under all circumstances, it's considered as if it was already the father's during the father's lifetime. Ask the Gemara, we learned that the next case that the Bechor is entitled to get Pishnayim is a Mugdoshim. But ask the Gemara, Mugdoshim lav de deninu. If somebody has something that he was Magdish, it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to Hegdish. And since it belongs to Hegdish, ask the Gemara, why would it be considered that he's a muchzik, that the person who passed away is a muchzik in it, and could therefore it could be something that the Bechor should get pishnaimin in? Answers the Gemara that this Bryce is speaking about kachim kalim. We know that there are two categories of kachim, kachim, kabin oila, kabin chatos, that are completely brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brought on the Mizbeach, only Kohanim get it. And then there's kachim kalim, where a portion of the carbon is eaten by the owner. And this Bryce will be following the opinion of Alibi de Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, mom and balamu. It's considered the owner, property of the owner, where it's most relevant would be, for example, can someone use kachim kalim that's his to be mekadesh in isha? If we say it's considered his, then the halacha is, says the Rashbam, that they're considered mam and balam, and that's why the bechor is entitled to a double portion. And the Yad Rama wants to suggest that even though, as the Gemara now teaches us, this question, if kachim kalim is considered mam and balam or mam and gavoya, is a machloikus we have throughout Shas, says the Yad Rama that even the opinion that holds that kachim kalim is mam and gavoya, as far as the halacha that it should be considered muchzik by the father, everybody will agree. Even the opinion that holds mam and the kachim kalim mam and gavoya, for this, it can be considered mum and balam, the money of the father, muchzik by the father, and the bechor will get a double portion. There's also a machloikis rishonim, that when Rabbi Yosef Aglili says the kachim kalim is mum and balam, is it only before it was shechted, or even after it was shechted? The Rashbam's opinion is that it's only considered mum and balam until the shechita of this carbon. And the opinion of Taisus is that it's considered mam and balam even after the shechita. The Tanya, the Braisa, that teaches about a case where somebody stole something from someone else, and the victim challenged him, "You stole something on mine," and the Gazlan swears falsely that he did not, and then he admitted that he did. And the Torah says that that's the case of Hashem Gzelus, where the Torah says, "Nefesh kisechto mol malba sheva kichsh b'meisai." It's the rabbis that this halacha that we just said would not just apply by something that someone owns. The rabbis kachim kalim, that this would apply even by kachim kalim, because shem mam balam, they consider an asset of the owner. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglili. And that's why here too, the bechor would get pishnayim in the kachim kalim that the father left over. We've learned in the Mishnah, in the Braisa further, Hinich lahem aviyem paramukheres umuskeres b'yad acherim, oy shahoysa roya be'eif of the yoldor, the halacha is b'chor noit upnei shnayim. Ask the Gemara, hashta. Let's understand this Braisa. Hashta mukheres umuskeres. It was leased, it was rented to someone else. The lab reshusei demori de dei kaimi. That at the moment of death, it wasn't in the possession of the father. Yet the Braisa says, Amrit Shokel, it's considered muchzik to the father, that the Bechor should get pishnayim. Roy Be'efer, where it's out grazing, certainly, asked the Gemara, it's considered in the possession of the father. Why was it necessary for the Braisa to tell us that in this case as well, the Bechor gets pishnayim? Answers the Gemara, Hakamashma, the Braisa wants to teach us the Mechkeres Umuskeres, the halacha that was saying that Mechkeres Umuskeres, the Bechor gets Pishnayim, it has to be similar, Dumya the Roy Be'efer, it has to be similar to the case of Roy Be'efer. Ma Roy Be'efer Shrich the Memelakasi, if it's grazing, it gets better, fatter, heavier, more valuable by itself. V'lekachasrei Mezoina, it didn't have to. Didn't cost him anything, as we explained when we learned the Braisa. We're speaking about a situation where they don't have to provide food to the animal. It just eats the grass, and that's what it's living off. Af mukheres umuskeres, the case of mukheres umuskeres, that we say that the Bechor gets pishnayim, it's only a case of shivcha the memelakasi, that the improvement happens by itself. The loichasr be mezoina. We're speaking about a case where the person who leased it is giving it food, and it's not considered that it's going to, that it's being fed, and it's not being fed by the owner. And therefore, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, even though it's really the person who rented it is just taking the place of the owner, and therefore maybe we should consider that it's being fed by the Yorshim. And if we're learning now that if it's being fed by the Yorshim, then he's not entitled to Pishnayim. Still, since it's not going out of their pocket, the halacha is that it's considered, it's not considered that they're spending on it, and the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. So, it says, asked the Gemara Mani, who was the Tana of this Brisa that paskins this way, that the Shivcha the Osam Mela, that the Shvach that comes by itself is not considered an improvement that happened after the death of the father? So the Gemara Rabbi here, it represents the opinion of Rabbi. The Tanya ain b'chanoitel p'ishnayim b'shvach sheshofchen nechosim lachem mises aviyem. They're not natal to p'ishnayim to what comes after the father's death. Rabbi Omer, Omer ani, Rabbi says, my opinion is, par b'chanoitel p'ishnayim b'shvach sheshofchen nechosim. And I saw the Mefarshim explain, why does Rabbi use the word Omer ani? So one of the pshatim that I saw is that throughout Shas, we know Rebbe is the one that composed the Mishnayis, compiled the Mishnayis. When he compiled the Mishnayis, what he actually did was, he took the opinions of many Tanoim and compiled the Mishnayis. So when he wanted to say that something he's saying now is his own opinion, not just the opinion that he's quoting from somebody else, he prefaces it by saying, Omer ani, Rebbe Omer, Omer ani, b'chay not pishnayim, b'shvach sheshofcha nechosim, lachem mises aveim. Any improvement that came by itself, the Bechor is entitled to double portion. Avaloi b'shvach sheshbichu yisoymim, lachem mises aveim. But anything that required that they should make it, that the yisoymim improved it, then the aloch is, there the Bechor does not get pishnayim, it's considered roi. Continues the Braisa in discussing the machloik, the opinion of Rebbe. Yorsh shtar choiv. If somebody owed money to the father, and the money was not collected during the father's lifetime, still the halacha is bechor noitel pishnayim. The bechor gets a double portion. There's a machloikus rishonim. What kind of milva? What kind of debt that was collected after the father's passing is the bechor entitled to pishnayim? The Rashbam's opinion is it's only in a milva b'shtar, because since the shtar, the document that says that this money is owned, is in the hands, was in the hands of the father, and now it's in the hands of the yorshim, a shtar that is written, it's considered kegovi domi, it's considered like money in the hand, and therefore the bechor is entitled to pishnayim. But if it's a shtar that's not b'ksav, as milva peh, so we know throughout halacha, milva peh is much more complicated to collect, and therefore the halacha is that the bechor is not entitled to pishnayim, even according to Rebbe in such a loan. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. He says that even though the Gemara uses the words yorshu shtar chayiv, the Gemara does not necessarily mean only if the debt was committed to writing. Any money that's owed is considered as if it was already in the possession of the father who passed away. I saw a third opinion that in the Rishonim, the Rashba, that wants to differentiate between a debt. It doesn't have to have a shtar. It doesn't have to be committed to writing, but it has to have at least Edom backing it up. And if there are Edom backing it up, then the halacha is, it'll be considered as if it was in the father's possession during already, and that's not considered roy, it's considered muksuk, versus a debt that is just a milva peh that doesn't even have on it a edim. Yotzalein shtar chayiv. If the father owed money to somebody else, and now the person is coming to collect from the father's estate, Says the Gemara, Bechor Noisa Pishnayim. The Bechor has to pay Pishnayim, because, explains the Rashbam, this is a new halacha, but what halacha is saying is that if you're going to collect a double portion, you have to pay a double, you have to pay a double portion as well. And as the Meiri explains, what the Gemara is coming to teach us is that we would think maybe the double portion that the Bechor is entitled to is a special privilege that doesn't come with any obligations. Teaches us the Gemara that it doesn't go that way. If you want the privileges, you have to also come with the obligations that come with those privileges. And therefore, says the Braisa, Im Omar, if the Bechor says, Eini Neutel, I give up my right to double portion the Yerusha. For that, any noisin, so I shouldn't have to pay a double share in the obligations that are on my father's estate. Rishoy, he's allowed to. Because, as the Rashbam explains, that the Yoirish, somebody who is a Yoirish of property, cannot just walk away. If he wants to give it away, if he wants to walk away from his share, he has to make a kinyan. It's something that the Torah gave to him. Whereas the Bechor's double portion is a gift that the Torah gives him, and he has a right to say that I'm willing to give up my gift. And the Rishonim explain that sometimes it's to the Bechor's benefit to give that up. It depends on what is the double portion worth versus what the obligation, what the chayv is. And sometimes, if, for example, the father left over Yerusha, the Miri gives this example, that's worth $600. But $300 of it is roi, and $300 is mukhsuk. So the Bechor and the two sons. So Bechor is going to get 200 of the mukhsik, and 100, the other brother is going to get 100, and in the Rui, he's going to get 150. So he's going to get a total of $350, and the other brother is going to get $250. And let's say there's an obligation of, the state had an obligation of $450. So now, if we're going to treat him like a Bechor, the Bechor is going to have to give 300, and the Poshet is going to have to give 150. So he's going to be left over with $50, and the Poshet is going to be left over with $100. So because he was a Bechor, he ends up with less. And he does not want to end up with less. And therefore he could walk away from that obligation. The question is, as we spoke about different types of obligations, what is the halacha if a father left over bands? And the Noi de Behuda discusses, since they're government instruments, do we say that everybody will agree, that the government stands behind it? Will everybody agree that it's considered muksuk? Or will that also be considered, according to the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, will they consider that also roi? And the Noi de Behuda takes the opinion that all obligations are treated the same way. And since they're all treated the same way, the halacha is that the Rabbanan will consider it roi, and Revi will consider it muhsik. Says the Gemara, however, the Rabbanan's opinion is that even improvements, shvach to osma mela, even improvements that come by themselves are considered roi. Ask the Gemara, my tam the Rabbanan, what is the basis for their opinion? Says the Gemara, Amakra, losses loy pishnayim, matanakai rechmana. The Torah says, losses. When the Torah speaks about the shear that the Bechor is entitled to, as we've been saying, it's considered a matana. Matana adamata liyadei. A matana is not considered yours until you actually get it, because the halach is, ein adam makna dovah shloi belaylam. Af b'chelik b'chayra, it's not yours adamata liyadeh until it's actually given to you. And it can't be given anything that wasn't there before is not considered his, And therefore, since anything that was not there from before is not considered his, because it's a davar shlo b'loylem. And the Rishonim point out that even according to the opinion that under certain circumstances we can't sell davar shlo b'loylem, dekel peroisof, that's when the tree is there. But in a situation where it's not there, like the Bechaira, the father's still alive, there everybody will hold that this is considered a davar shlo b'loylem, and the Bechaira is not entitled to it. Rebbe, who disagrees, what is Rebbe's reasoning? The Torah connects the share that he gets as a Yorish to the share that he gets as not a Yorish. Even a Yorish gets a double portion in everything that's in the father's estate, even if the father did not have access to it during the father's lifetime. So too is it regarding the chelk b'chayra, avgav d'loy matal yodei, even though he didn't have it during his lifetime, the b'chayra is entitled to a double portion. Ask the Gemara of Rabbanan Nami Yixim, what are the Rabbanan going to do with this pasuk that Rebbe bases his opinion on? Answers the Gemara, hu l'meisiv loy achad matzra. That pasuk is coming to teach us that if there are two brothers, and there are three fields, and two of the fields are next to each other, and the Bechar is going to get two of the fields. The halacha is that the Bechar gets the two fields next to each other, and not the two field, and we cannot force him to make a geirul which could end up with the fields not being next to each other. The Magen Mishnah, in explaining this halacha, says, the quotes of Rima Gash, that the Bechor has a right to receive the two fields next to each other, even if one of them is of superior quality. Because that's what the Torah is teaching us, that the Bechor has a right to insist that the two fields he's getting, in the example that we've been giving, should be undivided, should be adjacent to each other under all circumstances. The Rosh disagrees and says that the only time the Bechor can insist on adjoining fields is only in a situation if all of the fields are of similar quality. However, if the adjoining fields are not the same quality, then there's one field that's a superior quality, that field should be divided amongst the brothers. The Rosh says that the Bechor has only a right to undivided portion if all the fields are of similar quality. The Beis Yosef agrees with the Rima Gash. Because the Beis Yosef explains, in the case where all fields are of equal quality, there is no need for the Torah to give a special halacha to give the Bechor a right. Because that would be something that we've discussed in many of our shiurim. And that's the concept of Kofer Amidah Sadoim. Zeh Nena V'zeh Lo Choser. If this person has something to gain and you have nothing to lose, of course we always rule in favor of the person who has nothing to lose. So if all of the fields are of equal quality, says the Beis Yosef, then of course the Bechor should get the two adjoining properties. Why should we deprive him of that when the other brother has nothing to gain by the fields being divided that way? It says the Beis Yosef, the Torah went out of its way, as we're learning now, to teach us a new halacha. What the Torah must have meant by teaching us this halacha is that the Bechor should get the two adjacent fields, even if one is better than the other property. Rebbe Nami Hoksiv, Be'as Rebbe, doesn't the Pasuk say Losses Loi? And as we're learning now, the Pasuk of Losses Loi seems to indicate that it's a gift, and a gift can't be given on something that wasn't there yet. Says the Gemara, Hahu, to tell us the halacha that we learned earlier, that if the Bechor chooses to say, Eini Neitel V'Eini Neisen, I give up my share of the double of the Bechaira, so I shouldn't have to pay a double share for any month, for any debts my father had. The halacha is Rishoy, he has the right to do so. What about where will the Chacham learn this halacha? So the Rashbam explains the Chachamim are going to learn both halachas. The halacha that anything that comes after death, no matter what it is, even if it's Shifcha de Memela, the Bechor doesn't get two shares in it. And this halacha that the Bechor could walk away, he could learn both of them from the same pasuk. And the Rashbam explains the Rebbe will not feel that you can learn both of these halachas from the same pasuk. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara wants to focus on this machloikus Rebbe and the Chachamim. Where do they disagree and where do they not disagree? Says the Gemara, Amar Papa Diklava Olo. If the father left over a palm tree, and after he passed away, the tree got bigger. Arav Asik Sirtan, where he left over property, and then the property got more fertile by water. The Kulam Loi Pligi, everybody will agree, the Shokel, that the Bechor gets a double portion. Because that's considered, even though it did get better after the passing of the father, it's still considered the same that was there from before. And since it's considered what was there from before, the Bechor will get Pishnayim. Ki Pligi, where do we have a Machloikus? Bechafura v'havishfuli, that the father had this grass on the field, and then they had grain on the field, and then they turned it into stacks of grain. When you had this palm tree, that it started blossoming fruit, and then after he died, they became full-fledged dates. The Marsover, the Rebbe's opinion is that these are all considered shifcha de memeila. It's considered something that happens by itself, and that's why it's considered that's why the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. Or Marsover, since it's not what was there originally, it's considered Roy, and the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. Says the Gemara, so now we have this Machloikus of Rebbe and Rabbanan, and the Gemara approaches to try to understand what is the halacha. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Babachan Amar Abchia. Also, Kedivri Rebbe, also, if a Dayan, that's the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. If a Dayan needs to know what to do in this case, if he paskin like Rebbe also, it's accepted, and Kedivri Chacham also. And as the Rishonim explained, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lama Gimel, that what is the halacha if a Dayan makes an error? Tobit Mishnah. Here, it's not considered that if the Dayan paskin like either of these two opinions, that it's considered the Tobit Mishnah that he made a mistake. Because Rav Chiya has a question. We have a rule. The Gemara Masecht Ervin Daf Mem Vov Amabeis teaches us Halacha Kerebi Mechaveroi, that we paskin like Rebbe when there's one Tana that disagrees with him. Veloi Mechaveroi. But if the Rabbanon, if there's a Rabbim that disagree with Rebbe, we don't follow his opinion. Or perhaps what the Gemara Masecht Ervin means to teach us is Halacha to Rebbe Mechaveroi, we follow the opinion of Rebbe, the Filo Mechaverov, even if there's a Rabbim that disagree with him. That's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. The way the Rashbam learns the Gemara is that the Gemara is asking this rule of Halach to Rebbe, how is it to be understood? Is it to be understood that we always pass like Rebbe, no matter who is arguing against him, or we only pass like Rebbe when there's a Yochid arguing against him, not a Rabbim? Tosfos has a different approach. The Tosfos' approach is that it's only a question in our sugya. But throughout Shas, certainly if there's a Rabbim arguing against Rebbe, that we're going to paskin with the Rebbe. According to the opinion that we always paskin like Rebbe, so what is meant, even Chavei Rav, what is meant when we say, Aloch Rebbe Mechavei Roy, even Mechavei Rav, we're passing like Rebbe. So what is meant with this expression? Explain the Rishonim. What is meant with this expression is that we don't paskin like Rebbe against his Rebbe. If Rebbe is going against his own Rebbe, there for sure we won't follow the opinion of Rebbe. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav, Asalasas Kedivri Rebbe. One cannot follow the opinion of Rebbe. It's prohibited to follow the opinion of Rebbe. The Kosover, because his opinion is, Halok Rebbe Mechaveroi Veloi Mechaverov. That we only pass like Rebbe when he's arguing against the Yochin, not against the Rabbim. So we have no right to follow the opinion of Rebbe. Rav Nachman, the day Amar, Rav Nachman's opinion is, Mutalasas Kedivri Rebbe. One can pass like Rebbe. Kosover of Nachman's opinion is, Halok Rebbe Mechaveroi, Vafil Mechaverov. We could follow the opinion of Rebbe even against a rabbin. Amar Rava, also lasis kedivri Rebbe, one should not follow the opinion of Rebbe. However, and also if a dayan did follow the opinion of Rebbe, also we accept what he did. The kusover, his opinion, Rava's opinion is mata in itmar, that we should preferably follow the opinion of the chachamim versus Rebbe, if they're the rabbin against Rebbe, but it's not definitive that we always follow the opinion of the Chachamim against Rebbe, and therefore, if somebody passing like Rebbe, we accept that psak. Tana Rav Nachman b'shas sifrei de beirav. The Rav Nachman taught us the pasuk says, "Kivus b'chor ben asnua yaker losus loy pishnayim b'chol shematzloy prat l'shvach shesbichu yor shalach misas aviyim." Only what any improvement that the Yorsha made, there the Bechor doesn't get a double portion. If the improvement came on its own, shokel. There the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. Umani, who does this Brisa follow? It's clearly, it represents the opinion of Rebbe that anything that came, any improvement that came by itself, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. But now the Gemara quotes another Brisa. Tani Rama Bacham B'Shas Sifrei De Beirav, B'chol HaShimotzeloi, Plat L'Shvach Sheshofch N'chosom Lachem Mitzvah Zviyam. Any improvement to the assets after the passing of the father, the B'chor does not get Pishnayim. The Koshkein, even if it came by itself, and continues the Braisa, the Koshkein certainly, Shvach Sheshbichu Yorshom Lachem Mitzvah Zviyam, anything that came because the Yorsha made that improvement, the Loi Shokel, the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. Why? Because Mani, this follows the opinion of Rabbanim, that the Bechor is never entitled to Pishnayim, no matter what happened. The Pasuk says, when Elozer and Elosama, when Nadav and Avihu were Nifter, the Pasuk in Parashat Shemini says, so the question is, the word noisar, the shach in Yeridayis Simon Mem Gimel Siv Zion says, is only when you have a lot and then you have a meat, something left over. How can we say bonav nesarim? Nesarim, they weren't the meat, they were half. Aaron had four children. He lost two, Nadav and Avihu, and he left two, Elozer and Esamar. So if Shlomo Kluger answers that Nadav was a Bechor. And since Nadav was a Bechor who got Pishnayim, so the Nadav is not considered like one son. He's considered like two sons. So if Nadav and Avihu would nifter, it's as if three sons, Nadav being considered two, and Avihu another one, it's like three sons were nifter. And since the Bechor is considered like two, so that makes it, this case, as if three passed away, so it's appropriate that the Torah uses, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, the words, Bonav Anisorim, on the children that remained, Elozer Nisomer. Omar, so we've been discussing the Bechor getting Pishnayim in money that was owed to the father. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Bechor Noitel Pishnayim B'milva. A Bechor is not entitled to get Pishnayim in money that was owed to the father. Laman, ask the Gemara, whose opinion is this follow? Ilay Merushus Rabbanan, if we're going to say it's following that the Pinyan Rabbanon, hash the shifcha de isi b'reshusei, an improvement on an asset that was in the father's possession during his lifetime. That improvement happened by itself. We're still learning. Amri Rabbanon lo shokol. We're learning that Rabbanon hold that the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. Milva, where the father didn't have that money at all in his lifetime. Mabayi, would there be a question that the Bechor should get Pishnayim? Eli Rebbe, so we must say that this Brisa is following the opinion of Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, El Hadu Tanya, the Brisa says, Yorshu Shtar Choiv, if the father passed away, and amongst the assets that he left over is money that people owe him, the Brisa says, B'chor Noitl Pishnayim, Bein Bil Milva, whether in the Milva that the father left over, or even in the Ribbis on this loan, he's entitled to Pishnayim. According to this, we're learning that both Rebbe and the Rabbanon are saying that you don't get Pishnayim. So who is this Braisa following? Loi Rebbe v'loi Rabbanon. So the Ritva asks that why don't we differentiate between a Milva B'shtar, that there Rebbe says you get Pishnayim, versus a Milva Shloi B'shtar. From here is a Raya, an issue that we discussed earlier in the shir, that you get that there's no difference. The Bechor, if he's entitled to Pishnayim, he's entitled to Pishnayim in every type of milva. And if he's not entitled to Pishnaya, he's not entitled to Pishnayim in any milva. Says the Gemara, Loilam, this Bryce is going coin to Rabbanon. Vitzrich, that the Bryce is coming to tell us that the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim in the milva. Sakatat Chamina. Because we were thinking milva kiven the nakut shtar command the gavya dummy, that something that shtar oimed ligvois, a shtar that's here to be collected on, maybe should be considered as if it's already collected, kamash malon. Sholch mitam, says the Gemara, they sent the following aloha from Eretz Yisrael. B'chol noita pishnayim b'milva, in the money that the father was owed, the b'chor is entitled to pishnayim in that money, avaloi beribis, but he's not entitled to any ribis that the father was that's on the shtar, and the Rashbam explains it makes no difference if it was ribis that was accrued already during the father's lifetime or was ribis that was accrued after the father's lifetime. Why? So the Rashba explains in the Shas Tshuvas, a milva, money that's old, given what we just learned, is kaman kegavi dami. The halacha views it as if it was already in the possession of the father. And therefore, the halacha gives the Bechor pishnayim in that money. But a money that is not a milva, it's the ribis, even if we'll say it's that type of money, the halacha is that he doesn't get pishnayim. Laman, ask the Gemara, this halacha that we just learned is following whose opinion? Ilem rabban hashta shurcha de isi b'reshusei. If it happened myself, the halacha is amri rabbanon de lo shakel, any improvement, the Bechor is not entitled. Milva that wasn't collected in the father's lifetime, mibayi, certainly the Bechor is not entitled to pishnayim in. Ela Rebbe, so we're going to say, the Rebbe, this Bryce is following the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe, Ribbis Loi. But how could we say that according to Rebbe, the Bechor is not entitled to get Pishtaim in the Ribbis? Vatanya, doesn't the Bryce say? We learned, Rebbe Oimer, Bechor not to Pishtaim, Bein Milva, Bein Beribbis, that the in all Ribbis. The Rishonim debate, going back to what we just mentioned, when Rebbe says that a Bechor gets Pishtaim in Ribbis, does it only mean ribbis that was accrued and already owed to the father during the father's lifetime? That's money that we could consider the father already had. But interest that accrued after the father's passing, even Rebbe will agree the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. Or Rabbeinu Yonah says that ribbis is like shivcha dasa memela. It's like considered money that comes by itself. And since it's considered like money that comes by itself, improvement that comes by itself, Rebbe will hold that even in that ribbis, the Bechor gets Pishnayim. Says the Gemara, Loi Lomba say that this b'raisa follows the opinion Rabbanan. And even though the Rabbanan are very strict when we speak about improvement, anything that accrues after the father's death, milva, the basic milva, the Rabbanan will agree the Bechor gets pishnayim, because the Rabbanan will consider it command the gavyadami, that's shtara oimed ligvois, money that's owed, the halacha views kagavyadami, the halacha views it as if it was already collected, and since the halacha views it as if it was already collected, the Bechor is entitled to pishnayim in that money.